Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is author Laura Smith. Her memoir, titled In All Things, Giving Thanks When Hope Seems Lost, is about her spiritual journey through raising a difficult child and the experience of unshakable faith and strength through God's intervention. Good morning, Laura. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm excited to have you on the show. Your book is just wonderful. In All Things, Giving Thanks When Hope Seems Lost is a compelling memoir. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Sure. Up until about the fifth grade, we had moved around so much due to my father's employment at the time. He was a trucker and then later an electrician, and so we really didn't have a lot of roots to set down, and it was hard to form any lasting friendships. And so that was really difficult. And then later we moved to a dairy farm in northeast Minnesota. I was married 2 weeks after my high school graduation. 4 years later, I was facing divorce and single parenting. And then about 5 years after that, I met and married my current husband, and we have been together ever since. He's just an amazing man and a gift. I see him as a gift every day. Currently, I work full-time as a medical coding auditor, and I also, on the side, I do wedding and senior family photography. I'm also involved in a local area healing and deliverance ministry, which is just amazing. I have the two daughters, of course, that listed in the book, and three beautiful grandchildren. And my husband and I, we enjoy fishing and four-wheeling, camping, pretty much anything.
That's all the good stuff in life, see?
Yes.
Going back to when you were growing up, did you grow up in a religious family?
No, I did not, actually. I can probably count on one hand, the with fingers left over even, the amount of times that I was in church. And that was only because my grandparents brought me with them when I was spending the night or staying with them.
Now, your mom was raised a Catholic, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She was. And she didn't follow her faith after being married. My father was raised Methodist, and for some reason he just, he really did not have a faith or any belief system. He was very bitter and angry man most of his life, and I have my own suspicions on that, but I can't be certain. He's gone now, so.
So what happened to you to sort of got you to this spiritual revelation and your first experience of an epiphany of God's presence in your life?
It started back when I first started going back to church, when the girls were young teenagers. During worship time, I would just experience the presence of God in such an intense and healing way. It would feel like he was, you know, stitching back together those wounds and from my heart from growing up. And my dad, he was an alcoholic, and so he was also quite mean. And their wounds were formed, and it was just like he was healing everything from the inside out, one thing at a time. And then later, my current husband and I, we desired to have a child together and share that experience. And after years of trying, we finally decided to go to the doctor and see, you know, what was going on. And my husband had some testing done, and we were told he was not able to ever have children. There was just nothing they could do. It was absolutely no chance at all. And so that was a very difficult thing to face for me. I just, my heart just longed for a child, you know, with him. And my heart was just completely broken.
Who introduced you to God, I guess, in this case, when you were a young child or even when you were growing up?
My very best friend, her mother, every so often, I would stay at their house, and and she was a Christian, and she would speak about the Lord and different things that he's done in her life. And we went to a summer camp one time. It was a Christian summer camp. And I turned my life over to him at that time. And then later, due to issues and the way my family lived, I just didn't walk with the Lord spiritually for many years.
Did you read the Bible daily?
No, back then, no. I don't even know if we had a Bible in our house, to tell you the truth. I knew my grandparents did, but that was just something that wasn't even a part of our life.
Were there many times when you were going through such difficult time, even as a child, I'm sure, were there a period of time where you were praying to God or to a higher being and asking for some sort of intervention, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. I remember even when I was very young, not even knowing about the Lord, you know, praying. I mean, that is, I believe that is something that he instills in us from when we're created in the womb, that, you know, we know of his presence. We know he's there. We just don't maybe understand it at the time.
In reading your book, I realized that you were living life, basically. And in the course of living life, challenges comes up. And then you were continually drawn to a point where, hey, you're asking questions, why me, perhaps? Or what's wrong with this situation? Or how can I live a better situation? And all this while, I guess the subconscious side, it's kicking in to whereby you start to realize that there's something way above and beyond what's seen and heard, so to speak, I guess.
Later, many years later, we had been through my oldest daughter's numerous back surgeries and, you know, wondering why she had to endure this. And then the youngest daughter enduring being molested by her biological dad, and then diagnosed as being bipolar, the struggles that we faced with her and her behaviors, and she had to go to inpatient treatment numerous times when she was only 7 years old. And after that, even as a teen, she had to go inpatient. And then finding out that I was pregnant. It was just God's miracle and an answer to my heart cry. You know, he gives us the cries of our heart. And we were very excited about this new addition to our family and amazed at the miracle that it was, being told it was not possible. And then 3 months into the pregnancy, I had a miscarriage and we lost the baby. Going through that pain, it was just unbearable.
I understand. How has the grace of God influenced your decision-making process?
What solidified my faith, I think, was the experience that I had after the miscarriage in church. After months of not being able to attend church just out of pain and I guess fear of ridicule, I felt that, you know, maybe I did something to cause the loss, and I was afraid to return to church. I didn't want people, you know, judging me and thinking, oh, you know, you must not be living right. You lost your child. And I was able to finally go back months later, and during the worship service, I remember just telling God, you know, it hurts, and I'm in so much pain. But I love you, and I trust you, and I'm going to follow you no matter what. And I raised my arms in worship, and instantly I was standing in heaven. And it was just beautiful. It was very bright and amazing. And I looked to my right, and I saw Jesus sitting on a stump,
mm-hmm.
and he had a baby on his lap. And I just knew in my heart that this baby was my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling to hear them over the worship. And mm-hmm. I heard the baby say, "Jesus, is that my mommy?" And I looked and he was pointing down. And when I looked down, I could see our congregation and I saw myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, "Yes, that's your mommy." And the baby said, "Oh, would you bless her?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yes, I do every day." And then I was back standing in worship once again, and tears were just rolling, and my shirt was soaked mm-hmm. with tears. And that was the turning point
mm-hmm.
that solidified my faith in knowing that I will again see that child in heaven, and just knowing that he's being raised with the angels is just so healing.
That's a tremendous experience. And one of the things in life, and you're right when you talk about when something negative happens to us or when we face a tremendous amount of challenge, the immediate question that we have for ourselves is whether it would leave our life right. Because if we live our life right, it means that everything should be fine.
Yeah, you would think.
mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. So, mm-hmm. but in all actuality, life is life. And what we do is that we have two equal but separate forces that sort of govern us in how the way we think, which is love and fear. And the immediate fear that you felt, obviously, was the fact that perhaps you weren't a good mother, that, oh my gosh, I caused everything to happen. But then when you were in the presence of God, you realize that I'm a loving person. I did the best I could within my own physical realm of ability to do so. And as you strengthen that, then you realize that you allow your love to overcome your fear. And then immediately you experience harmony in all areas of your life.
Mm, yep, that certainly is the truth.
Why did you decide to write "In All Things, Giving Thanks"?
Originally, I hadn't intended to write this book. This was just mm-hmm. a journal, and it was a journey for me through healing by journaling the pain and then the healing. And then I had shared the story with my church after I was able to. And during sharing that story and the amazing vision that the Lord had given me, there was a woman in church who I didn't know who she was. She was mm-hmm. new to our church. But she was towards the back of the church, and I heard a loud cry, and I looked up, and she was on her knees in the middle of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned later that she had suffered a miscarriage 2 years prior and was unable to get past that pain until I shared my story.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I had met a few other people along the way who had also gone through a loss of a miscarriage or a child and were not able to get past it. And so I just shared my story with them. And every time I shared it, they were just moved to tears. And they said, "You know, you really need to share this with the world. There's so many women out there that are suffering, and even men," because I do share in the book also about my husband's healing
mm-hmm.
through this after I shared my vision with him. And so there is healing out there, and I just wanted to be able to let women know that the God of this universe loves them so much, you know, that when mm-hmm. your heart breaks, his heart breaks.
Mm-hmm. And it does make you stronger from within.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Please tell us a little bit more about your book. Kind of walk us through the things that you wrote. I mean, these are very sensitive information. It covers your life, your family, and so forth. It's a wonderful story, but at the same time, you have, like you say, you can have tears of joy, tears of sorrow,
mm-hmm.
and mix in all of that is the unwavering sense of faith in knowing that, well, I am on a journey, and wherever that journey takes me, I am prepared. And I'm at peace with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In all things, it's a story of my personal journey through faith and going through divorce, single parenting, raising a very difficult child, and desiring a baby so desperately, and then, of course, finding out I was pregnant and losing our little miracle. It's about the lessons that I've learned through that healing process, and since then, really, because there's so much more that I learn from that experience into my life now. And another incident that just helped me get through that, remembering the pain that I suffered back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I share very intimate and painful moments, and I really don't hold anything back. It's very raw and emotional, and I think that's where the tears of sorrow come in. But then the healing process afterwards, I also share, and how through that healing he gave me hope and a purpose to live again,
mm-hmm.
and to trust
mm-hmm.
him in all mm-hmm. things.
Were there times when you feel God wasn't there listening to you and answering your prayers?
Oh, absolutely. Mostly during the time of raising my youngest daughter that was bipolar. You know, we still, to this day, we struggle with our relationship. She's a very mm-hmm. strong-willed person, and she seems to know what buttons to push with me, and she refuses to get treatment, and so that's a constant battle with her, and I'm learning to let go. I'm mm-hmm. learning to let God take over. It was told to me one time that God doesn't have any grandchildren, and so what that says to me is that I'm no longer responsible for her. It's in his hands. And so I struggle daily to give that up to him and say, you know what, God, get me out of the way. She's your daughter, and I know you love her more than I ever could. Mm-hmm. And so I just give her to you.
What was the most challenging chapter for you to write?
I think it was the chapter about her and the mm-hmm. struggles, because I wanted to share all those struggles and the strife it caused in our family.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to share very openly, but yet, being that she's an adult now, I didn't want to put anything in there that would hurt her or mm-hmm. wound her spiritually. I wanted to also let her know that, you know, even though we went through those struggles, we never gave up on her. We never stopped loving her. So many people are brought to the point where they would possibly put their child up for adoption or in mm-hmm. foster homes just because they can't handle it. And I just knew that God gave her to me for a reason, and I couldn't give up on her. And that message did come through for her. I was hoping it would. When she read mm-hmm. it, she sat down and wrote us a 3-page letter. She was just so moved
mm-hmm.
And blessed by it. So,
well, the power of unconditional love transcends generations. And what you have received from God, you have in turn turned it around and give that to your daughter.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, with both my daughters, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest daughter, later, she had just graduated high school. She was engaged to be married, and she told me she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She was, of course, going to be an unwed mother before mm-hmm. she got married. And again, I struggled with what others would think, not what my job as a mom would be mm-hmm. to stand by her. And the day she told me, I came home and I told my husband, and he struggled with it as well.
Right.
Because, you know, we just want the best for our kids. And as I was sitting in the living room, just completely lost in my own mm-hmm. feelings of hopelessness and sorrow for her dreams. And again, I was moved to tears. I had to repent for my feelings and making it all about me and what other people would think, and learn that she's my daughter and I need to stand by her. Mm-hmm. And so I shared that with my husband, and we just agreed that we would be there for her no matter what.
That's really a moving story. In your book, you talk about Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was something very interesting because that was in your earlier part of your life where you went through some changes. And, of course, going through a spiritual journey is part of experiencing someone else's experience. I thought on the last few hours or the days that Rose was in the hospital was compelling. So tell us a little bit about that story.
Sure. She was actually dealing with cancer. And after...
And who is Rose to you, by the way? I'm sorry. Who is Rose to you?
It is my husband's mother. So she's my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just an amazing woman. She had lived a really hard life on the farm, and you could just tell it by her weathered face, you know, from the sun, and her hands were calloused. Mm-hmm. And when we got married, she just welcomed my daughters and myself with open arms. She just mm-hmm. was an amazing woman. And so when she got sick with cancer and towards the end of her life, we moved in with her to take care of her. I told him, I said, you know, she's accepted us, and she is such an amazing person. I just feel like we need to dedicate the rest of her life to her and be there for her and whatever she needs. So we moved in with her and stayed with her until a couple of weeks before she got so sick she had to go into a rehab center, basically the wing where, you know, they put you when you're mm-hmm. dying. And in the last few days, they'd given us a book of things we might expect in her facing the next world and stepping into the other world. And it was just remarkable. She would be laying in bed, and she would be sound asleep, and all of a sudden she'd wake up and say, oh, I need to talk to the pastor. And he would mm-hmm. walk by the room. Another incident, she was sleeping in the south wing of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and the parking lot was on the north side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And she would sit up and say, oh, here comes, you know, my daughter and son-in-law. And we'd look out, and sure, they weren't parked on the south side of the building,
mm-hmm.
but the time it took for them to walk to the parking lot up to her room, they were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing, as though she could see into the spirit realm in between that time. It was just phenomenal.
That's a wonderful story. That's the reason why I wanted you to share that, because there are things that we don't really necessarily realize what's going on, and given the opportunity to just be there and be present in the present moment, perhaps we can all enjoy that kind of a revelation as well.
Mm, absolutely.
You wrote a wonderful poem for your daughter, Paige. Please share that with us.
Sure. And Paige is the oldest daughter. She's the one that went through the numerous back surgeries. She's got a disease mm-hmm. that's called neurofibromatosis, also known as von Recklinghausen's disease, or was considered the elephant man's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been very fortunate that, you know, although she's had to endure numerous back surgeries, she has a mild case, and so we were very thankful for that. And through the years, I just felt I didn't get to devote to her as much time as I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
and she was kind of set on the back burner because we were always concentrating on my youngest daughter and her issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she turned 18, I just had this moment where I realized, you know, I lost all these years with her. And so I wrote her this poem when she graduated. It's, Dear Paige, you're 18 today. My, how the years have ran away. I wonder if you'll remember those times so long ago when you'd climb inside the cupboard door, fling open that door, yell peekaboo, and send me straight to the floor. Will you think of me someday as you're finding your own way, bathing your own child in the kitchen sink, blowing bubbles this way and that way. As you're walking through a difficult time, will you think of me in the back of your mind? I wish my mom was here. She'd calm this heart of mine. Will you know that as you go along life's busy highway, I'll be thinking of you and wondering, too, is she thinking of me? And someday when I'm gone, hopefully a long, long time from now, will you still reach for the phone? Excuse me.
It's okay.
With a tear in your eye and say, I wish I still had my mom. The years have been short, but the joy so very long to raise you, my daughter, has placed in my heart a very dear song.
It's a beautiful poem. Beautiful, beautiful poem. I really appreciate you sharing that with all that you have. My next question is, having you go through your life being challenged in so many ways as a child and as a young bride and so forth, the things that you've gone through, but yet you write so eloquently. Tell us a little bit about that gift of writing. When did you acquire it, and when did you realize you have this gift?
When I was very young, I can't even remember how young. I knew I didn't know how to write. I didn't even know how to write my name.
Mm-hmm.
I would spend a week or two with my grandparents, and they would be playing cards around the kitchen table, and I would sit in the corner with a book, and I don't even know what kind of book it was, but I would pretend I was writing songs, and I would sing them out, and then I would pretend I was writing a story, and I would read it out, and you know, they would chuckle at me and get a kick out of me, because I just sat there for hours entertaining myself by writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, in about fourth grade, I guess it was, I wrote short stories. I used to write about a rabbit family, because I used to love rabbits, and the kids in this rabbit family were dealing with issues, I guess, that I was dealing with at that time, such as moving constantly, not being able to find friends, feeling like the outcast in school all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, my grandfather used to write stories for a local newspaper of his travels through life and their different journeys across the country. And he just was such an amazing writer. I just longed to write like him. Bless people like that. I used to write them letters when they would go south for the winter, and they always told me that they just loved my letters so much because it was as though they were right there with me experiencing it. So it kind of confirmed my desire to write, that, you know, somebody could be touched by my writing.
That's wonderful, and that's what I wanted to bring out just now by having you read that beautiful poem you wrote. And again, it all ties back into the skills that God has provided us with, and sometimes it takes to a certain point in our life to reach maturity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know when I sat down to turn my journal into a book, I every time I would sit down, I would just pray, you know, Lord, I don't want to share any part of me. I want to share what you want me to share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let your message come through so that people can find the healing that you desire for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very true. How has your personal experience with God influenced you as a person, a parent, and a wife?
Oh, it's made me a very patient person. I know now I never pray for patience, because when you pray for patience, you get trials. I now pray for grace.
Mm-hmm.
I pray every time a situation comes up that seems difficult or harsh, I always ask God, help me to refocus, help me to see this situation through your eyes, help me to realize that although the enemy might mean this for evil, that you can use it for your good and for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
And just move me out of the way, you know, so that you can do your work.
Right. And as a wife?
Well, my husband, I believe he has faith, and he believes that the Lord is real and he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not go to church with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to walk through just giving that to the Lord and understanding that, just like my children, God doesn't have grandkids, and that also relates to my husband. I just need to trust the Lord that he will work in him in his timing.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I honor my husband and I'm there for him. I'm his friend, his partner, and that hopefully he will see Jesus in me, and one day I believe he will come to go to church with me and find a new relationship in Christ.
Mm-hmm. And yet you guys have enjoyed this wonderful years of marriage and love for one another, because
absolutely,
sometimes it's how you live your life that speaks on what's in your heart.
Absolutely. I try, you know, when I first started going back to church, I tried to get him to come with me, and I was hurt when he wouldn't come, and I struggled for a long time to not try and push him. And then I realized, you know, just walk out my own faith, and he will see Jesus in me, and that will bring him around.
And I'm sure you've seen that in him as well, even though he's not a churchgoer in so many ways, because his actions have proven that.
Oh, I have. And he really listens to my heart when I talk to him and I share the different things that the Lord shares with me. He's interested. He wants to hear. He wants to know how God speaks to my heart, and how God speaks to me through difficult situations, and helping him to see these situations different. He's willing to listen, and that tells me a lot. He's come a long way.
That's wonderful. What would you like for your readers to gain from reading In All Things, Giving Thanks When Hope Seems Lost?
There's just so much that's within it. I believe there's a little something for everyone with all the different issues of divorce and single parenting, miscarriage, and there's a very special message in there for women specifically who have gone through miscarriage and abortion. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that anyone who's ever suffered miscarriage, or any woman or man who's been faced with abortion that's touched their life, there's a very special message in there just for them, and to find healing, and to understand that the God of this universe really does love us.
Very true. I was adopted at birth by my Malaysian mom, and she in turn had 3 miscarriages before adopting me. So your book does relate to me very, very well from that perspective, and I just wanted to share that with you from that standpoint of view. You experienced a major epiphany, which you shared with us earlier in the show, when you have this presence in you that you realized while you were in church, the presence is so strong and you were connecting with God and your potted son. And you also wrote a wonderful poem for Daniel. Please share that with us.
Okay, I'll try. I hope I can get through it. Dear Daniel, this was our baby's name. I just believed in my heart at the time that it was a son, and we have a son in heaven. And so his name was going to be Daniel. And when I sat down to write this poem, I just wanted to honor him and let him know that I will see him someday and that I love him so much. The first time that we met, my spirit leapt within me. Before I knew that it was you, I knew that it was you. The vision came one Sunday, months after the pain of losing you was still fresh upon my heart. I raised my arms in worship, the glorious King of Kings. Suddenly, I left the place I was to visit the King in heaven and meet you for the very first time. What a beautiful sight you were. You didn't see me, but I saw you sitting on Jesus' lap, pointing down to where I had just been. You said, "Is that my mommy?" Then Jesus said, "Yes, it is." You asked him to bless me, and he said he does every day. The first time that we met, my spirit leapt within me. Before I knew that it was you, I knew that it was you.
Such a beautiful poem. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
I do have a Facebook page. in all things. I also have a Twitter page, Laura M. Stores. I do have an email, tnlsmith90@yahoo.com, if they need to contact me. And to purchase the book, Halo Publishing is who published my book, and if you go through them, you'll get an autographed copy. Also, it's available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all other major online booksellers, available both as a paperback and as an e-book.
Wonderful. What kind of feedbacks have you gotten from your family? Because it is about them. It's a story about them. So how are they taking it, and what kind of support are you getting from them?
Well, since the original intent wasn't to publish a book, I think when I decided to go through it, they were somewhat skeptical that I would be able to get it published. They, since then, have just been so incredibly proud of me for sharing the most intimate details of my life, and in turn honoring them at the same time in the book. And I think they're very supportive. My husband, he's very supportive and incredibly proud. And there are other family members that they kind of see me as, they wonder, you know, I'm this Jesus freak, and yeah, I kind of am, I guess. I love the Lord, and I love to show and walk in His light. But I don't force my beliefs on anyone. I believe that as I walk through life, He will show through. And I'm just a normal, average person, and I enjoy getting muddy on a four-wheeler and getting fishy when we're fishing, and so I think for the most part, our relationships haven't changed, but they're pretty supportive.
Wonderful. How about who has been the biggest supporter and who had inspired you the most?
Well, the person that inspired me the most was the woman in church I shared earlier about who was healed instantly. But my biggest supporter was a cousin to my husband, and she just, from day one, she just encouraged me, get it done, you know, don't stop, don't quit, don't give up, get it done. And so she was my biggest supporter as far as completing it and pursuing publishing.
What do you feel is the most important message you were trying to get across with your book?
I believe that learning that every situation we encounter, there's a message in it. And if we can learn to see that through God's eyes, He will show us that message. He will be faithful to meet us there and give us the healing we need, if it's healing, to give us the ability to stand back and let Him work and just trust Him. There's just so many blessings available for us when we can get out of the way and just allow Him and invite Him in to take care of the situations.
Very true. What do you do in terms of when you write? Do you get a lot out of it yourself now that you find that this is something that God has gotten you the skills to express yourself effectively?
I do get a lot out of it. Not only the healing that comes from putting it down on paper. When I was journaling, it was like every day I would come home and I would sit to write, and I would just dump all this pain and everything from the day onto paper. But as I was writing, I was seeing the situations, and I was seeing His hand in how He was working in these situations. And He would show me things when I'd put it on paper. And then once it was on paper, I was ready for the next day. I'd emptied out my hurtful tank, and I had a new tank to fill up the next day. And as each day went by, that pain was just less and less.
Do you encourage people to journal?
Definitely. It is tremendously healing.
And journaling could be also as simple as keeping a diary. I mean, it doesn't have to be very detailed, very specific, I guess, in some ways. Don't worry about the structure of it, but it's just a matter of a process of transference.
Yes, yeah. And it is amazing how when you can put it on paper, it helps you get through it. I don't quite know how that works, but it's amazing. It really works.
Do you have any tips or any guidelines on how people could just start journaling?
For me, I bought a three-ring binder and a notepad and pencil, and I just started writing down the feelings I was having. I started writing down events, struggles, different situations that I was having trouble getting through. I would also write down any dreams or visions that I would have, and I would highlight them in different colors to indicate which was a dream, which was just personal struggles. And then later when I went to put it into a book, it was all outlined for me, which was what part of that book and where it should go, whether it was a vision, you know, or a personal experience.
Right. How about the difference between good and bad? Do you also journal the good things that you remember and be thankful on a daily basis?
Oh, definitely. The blessings. I try to start out my journaling by thanking him for all the blessings that I have in my life. You know, another day with breath in my lungs, that's an amazing thing in itself. But just the gifts of the family he's given me, the friends he's given me, the job that he's provided for me, and then just sharing anything from the day that I just feel I need to get off my chest or...
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think a lot of times people tend to focus on the negative, and so they write all, I wish this would be better, I wish that would be better, I wish this and this, I wish that would not happen, and they tend to forget that if you start out by just saying, dear God, thank you for these, all the hits.
Definitely, and it's amazing how it can change our perspective and how we see things.
Yeah,
it really does.
And then there's nothing wrong to say, you know, well, dear God, these are the misses. And then when you realize that some of the misses is actually part of your own doing.
That's true.
And it makes it a whole lot lighter afterwards.
It certainly puts a new perspective on things and lets you see that in the scope of life, you know, what seems major to us is really minor.
So do you read yourself? Do you read a lot?
I do. I have a stack of books that I'm trying to get through right now. When I have time, you know, working full time and working on my next book and, you know, doing things to promote this book, I try to read when I can.
So what's your favorite book?
My favorite book is a book by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. It is the most amazing book I believe ever written. It's about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness and realizing that when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, we think we're holding the other person in prison, but really it's us who's in prison to that.
Right.
So when we're able to let that go, there's just amazing healing and freedom that comes with it.
Very true. Very, very true. And it's a difficult thing to do.
It is. The ministry that I'm in currently, that's almost the entire basis of the healing ministry I'm in is through forgiveness and walking through those wounds, even from childhood, that have come into our lives from those experiences.
And what makes it easier, too, if you invite and welcome God's grace, then it changes the dynamics of the way you think as well.
It certainly does.
Because as humans, we may not have the strength in flesh to do certain things. So we just simply need the blanket, the grace of God, to help us through those.
Yes.
How has writing, in all things, giving thanks, impacted you personally?
Well, I was quite overwhelmed when the first printed copy came to me in the mail, and just humbled that God would do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not quite sure what to do with myself, I guess. I'm just so blessed that it's out there and it's available for people. I guess it really hasn't changed me as a person,
mm-hmm.
other than I really want to get the message out as much as I can so other people can experience the same amazing peace and joy that I've found.
What can we expect from you during the second half of this year?
Well, currently, when I have time between my full-time job and photography, I am working on book number 2, and mm-hmm. it is going to be in a series of In All Things.
Mm-hmm.
And this one will be called Expect a Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about my dad's 2-year journey through cancer,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that he learned and all the things that we as a family learned. I will share the ups and downs of facing a family loved one who is facing cancer and the different mm-hmm. coping mechanisms of each of us as we went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also share about my dad's own way of facing his mortality. Through his entire life, like I said earlier, he was a very bitter and angry man,
mm-hmm.
With no real relationships to speak of with his own family, his brothers, sisters, parents. It was very limited contact, and even us children, his own children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share how God worked in all of our hearts during that time, and since then, how he continues to work in us after he's gone.
By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Sure. Well, when I began attending church, I just realized that no matter what life throws at me, I can ask God to show me the situations through His eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And He's faithful to do that. He really is so faithful. And because I know that what the enemy intends for evil, that the Lord can and will use for His blessings if we allow it. And we just need to get ourselves out of the way and trust Him. God is a gentleman. He won't force Himself on us and just take over situations. He waits for us to give Him the permission and to invite Him into those situations. It's just like salvation, you know. Nothing is forced mm-hmm. on us. Mm-hmm. He gives us that choice.
That's beautiful. Any final thoughts about, in all things, giving thanks?
Well, I just encourage anyone who's gone through the loss of miscarriage and abortion or abortion to read this. There's so much more within the book, and there are people who have said they want to keep this in their church library for young mm-hmm. women to help mm-hmm. them make better choices and not make errors when they're so young and just haven't had the experiences of life to help them make good choices.
Mm-hmm.
I just encourage everyone to read it and just allow God to share with them what He would have for them through it.
Wonderful. Since we are live on the air, do you want to do a shout-out to your grandchildren?
Oh, I do. I do. My beautiful babies. They're ages 7, 5, and 4,
uh-huh.
and they're just amazing. We almost lost the 7-year-old when she was born, and
mm-hmm.
That was another epiphany about why we stand by our children and love them unconditionally, is mm-hmm. that we almost lost my daughter through that
mm-hmm.
birth.
Mm-hmm.
And God's amazing grace and His hand in that situation again. So we're very thankful to have her.
What advice do you have for someone who is in the situation where they're sort of wandering out there in the wilderness and not knowing which way is up or down? How would you recommend that they seek the grace of God?
Well, if they're connected to a church, I would encourage them to seek out the elders or the pastor, just to ask them to pray and to remove the immediate pain of whatever they're dealing with. If they don't belong to a church, I've heard of people and one of my relatives actually who was facing drug addiction, and mm-hmm. she just came to the end of herself, and one evening she just dropped to her knees and said, "God, if you're real, let me know." And mm-hmm. she was just healed from the addictions, and mm-hmm. she has an amazing ministry now because of the realization that when we come to the end of ourselves and give it to Him, He's faithful to guide our path.
Basically, what you're saying is that it's true that sometimes some of us may feel the comfort of going through someone who is a minister and so forth, but most of the time we tend to forget that we do have a direct line
right,
to God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And many times that direct line works much more effectively because it is a shift within our own self, because heaven and hell is within us, good and bad is within us, success and failure is within us, mm-hmm. and the grace of God is already in us.
Yes, it is. It's something that He gives us from birth.
When we take the opportunity to release it, then it's just tremendously wonderful. Things all around us starts to change.
The healing power is just, it's immediate, and mm-hmm. it's very powerful. It's just so mm-hmm. amazing.
When you look back in your life, were there a period of time that you felt perhaps you should have gone in a different direction?
I used to question the choices I made and the path that I was on, mm-hmm. but I realize now that had I taken different paths, mm-hmm. And gone different directions, such as if I didn't marry when I was young, mm-hmm. if I didn't walk through that, I wouldn't have the children I have.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't found and married my current husband, he wouldn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Have I not gone through these painful memories or moments of losing a child, I wouldn't know and understand the things I know now about God.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have learned the lessons that I know now, and I just wouldn't have the faith that I have now. And I wouldn't be able to help and minister to others. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be of any use.
Mm-hmm. In short, basically, appreciate where you're planted. Appreciate the present moment that you're in. And with your conscious choice, you can certainly move in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Laura, thank you for the great recipe for living that you had shared with us earlier, and for being with me during this hour on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be author and illustrator of children's book, Michael Ciccinelli. Michael and I will be discussing about the legacy his mother, Marguerite, left behind for him to carry forward. Children's book series titled The Pasta Family. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Laura, thank you again, and have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much, and I just pray blessings on you and all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.